This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Khidr says to Musa alayhi salam that my knowledge and your knowledge in comparison to the knowledge of Allah is like these drops of water in the beak of this bird. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْإِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْبَشْرَ الْآنِ. Look at human beings today. Because ilm has led to at-takabbur. It's led to arrogance. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped, we looked briefly at the surah of spiritual light and ahkam, rules and regulations, whereby we mentioned that many of us take Suratul Baqarah as just a surah of rules and regulations, which is partially true, that predominantly many of the rules and regulations of Ahkamul Qur'an are placed inside Suratul Baqarah, 286 verses. But at the same time, we concluded there are many spiritual verses inside these rules and regulations, or the key message of reminding us about returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that light that we spoke about, the hadith of Usayd ibn Hudayr, whereby he recited Suratul Baqarah, and the angels, they clustered to listen to his recitation, or they would have remained there in the morning if he tarried in reciting, if it had not been for the fear of his son, Yahya. Some ulama mentioned that this spiritual light, or this clear light that was visible, is also plausible inside this surah of today's discussion, Suratul Kahf. Either it could be the same individual, some ulama mentioned, Sayyid ibn Hudayr, reading Suratul Kahf on another occasion, whereby once again the angels, they clustered and they came together. But what can be safely established, that the recital of Suratul Kahf does give light for that individual, that spiritual light, from one Friday to the following Friday. And in some narrations, 3 days more is given to that individual. We can safely conclude that the main theme of the Quran is spirituality, is awakening of the individual. As we find that there's many ayat inside the Quran, وحتى الكلمات, that sometimes they pass an individual by. There could be surahs in the Quran a person reads on a daily basis, which is a key theme of this series, or they recite them on a regular basis. And it could be just an instant that a certain kalima or certain word or certain phrase or certain ayah, it reawakens their iman. That's the nature of the Quran. That it awakens the individual, that the person who recites the Quran frequently finds what innalu halawa, finds this sweetness, finds so many ayat have gone past the individual, or they don't have tadabbur or ponderance or reflecting over these ayat. And that's the Prophet ﷺ was always towards the spiritual dimension of warning us about the spiritual awakening of the individual, and at the same time warning us about certain things that take place inside this surah, when we recite this surah. Because he prophesied, he mentioned that the hastening of this identity, this individual, will begin to take place when people, the khutaba, people who are the preachers, will fail to mention this inside their sermons. That people are busy speaking about other things. Yes, there's many problems that we face on the face of this earth, and we should not neglect them at times. But concepts of aqa'id is what builds a society of belief, which is Quran is replete with tasheehul aqa'id wal amal, of rectifying our belief and our actions. And he warned us when khutaba failed to speak, Aimma failed to speak about khuruj al-dajjal, about the hastening of the Antichrist, that this will be the hastening, the coming close of the hour. And we can see this in today's world. It doesn't mean hastening could even mean that we become so ghafileen, heedless, as we mentioned, other issues, other affairs, that we fail to remind ourselves and the wider community that the real ending, or the real Armageddon, is the final day. The prelude to that, whether it be the Imam Mahdi or the 10 signs that come after that, that we need to remind ourselves that maybe we are living closer and closer towards the final days. It's kalamh hil basar. It's like the blinking of an eye, that many of us, that 40, 50 years of our life have just gone by like the blinking of an eye. That's how time will pass, the signs of the day of judgment, that there will be no barakah in time. Time will fleet by, will pass by. That's what life will become. So these are all minor signs which build up towards the major signs. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that if the Dajjal, he exits amongst you, then I will argue for you, then I will defend you, I will be there for you. But obviously he prophesied it will come at a later stage. So what will happen? What do we need to do? That's why this surah, the deeper inner meaning of surah, is a spiritual dimension, that there's four key themes inside this surah that we mentioned them in the beginning, because some of us may get lost in the discussion in khutbah, which is the nature of the human being. There's four fitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes inside this surah and describes the solution as well. And the fitan that with this person that all of us face inside this dunya is firstly the story of Ashab al-Kahf. The story of the people of the cave and fitna to deen. The trials and tribulations of holding on to one's faith. Just like those young individuals, they face certain things. Then just today as well, there's no difference. There will be various fitan, various trials and tribulations that people will need to hold on to their faith. There'll come a time that, as the Prophet he mentioned or prophesied, Al-Qabid al-Dini kal-Qabid al-Jamar. Person holding on to their deen will be like a person who holds on to hot coal. It's going to be very difficult. Person is going to be recognized as a strange individual. Ghuraba. Fatuba lil ghuraba. And he prophesies, give tuba, give glad tidings to those people. Who are these ghuraba? Unasun salihun. Yuslihuna ma afsadun nas. They are trying to be righteous people who rectify what people have corrupted around them. They're surrounded with corruption. The clear corruption is the corruption of dhulm, of shirk, billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like these young individuals, so fitna of deen. And then the cure is mentioned. What is, when you go through these trials, these young individuals, is suhbatu saliha, is to surround themselves with righteous people, good companionship, good comrades, who share the same image, share the same journey. About their goal is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who's the best individual who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exerts the efforts? That's what the Muslim should be. The call is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. It's flee back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not flee back to certain people or certain identities. Is flee back to Allah and call likewise the opposite, call only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second fitna that we find, sahibatul jannatain, the two companions of the garden, boasting about their wealth, fitnatul mali wal walad, fitna of wealth and property and children that we all face in this dunya. These temptations that we find that's dead sometimes, inna min amwalikum wa awladikum fitna. Min bima'na tab'idiyya ahyanan. Sometimes that your wealth and your children, it becomes a fitna and a trial for you. So the Quran highlights this fitna. And the solution as well, ma'rifatu haqiqatu dunya, the reality of knowing what is the real end of this world. That this world is faniya, it's going to end. Your children will end, your wealth will end, life will end, everything will end. So the preparation is for al-akhirah. Then we find the story of Musa wal Khidr, fitnatul ilm. The story of Musa and Khidr, alayhi salam, is revolving around the concept of fitnatul ilm that we find in today's society. That look at it, it's not even ilm. وَمَا أُوْتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. They ask you about the soul, and we're going to come to ask about the spirit. You've only been given, قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. This soul is from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've only been given small amounts of knowledge. And look how the person becomes arrogant towards the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the individual. So what is the solution to this? At-tawadu', humility, humbleness. Then the fourth story inside this Quran is one of Dhul Qarnain, the fitna of sultan, of being a leader, being powerful. Once again, we live this in today's world as well. See, the Quran is very deep. We can't relate to the Quran, the fitna that the Quran speaks about centuries ago. Or even before the beginning of creation and time, those fitan, they revolve. They return again and again. So Ibn Khaldun's tariq speaks about things that revolve in history, revolve again and again. For the Muslims especially, that certain things will take place. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this fitna. What is the solution for this fitna of being in power and authority? Is al-ikhlas. It's sincerity. Knowing your limitations, justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this authority, whatever this individual may be. And these four fitan, as ulama mentioned, exactly these four fitan is what Ad-Dajjal will come with. So that's the link between these four fitan that are mentioned inside this surah in relation to Ad-Dajjal. That he will come with fitna to deen. He will come and claim to be an ilah, a deity, that he's the one that needs to be worshipped. He'll come with fitnatul mal. He'll come with wealth that will be given to him in abundance and trial people. He will come with fitnatul ilm, that he will say certain things that people will believe in him. He will show them a jannah wa nar. And fitnatul sultan, because he will traverse across all of the earth. Masharikiha wa magharibiha. He will traverse all across the earth. So these four fitn are what the four fitn of what Dajjal will come as well. That's what we can understand why the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned man qara'a. Whoever reads, or man hafidha, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. Usima min fitnati Dajjal. He's preserved and protected from the fitna of Dajjal. And the narration is Sahih Muslim, whoever memorizes or learns the final 10 verses. Imam Tirmidhi Sunan mentioned whoever learns the first 3 ayat. Even though this is not the most accurate view. And the most concise view is the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. And based upon this, some ulama even going to review the whole of the surah. The person learns the whole of the surah, memorizes the whole of the surah, whether it be the first 3 or the first 10 or the last 10. The person has this surah inside their heart and their mind, it will protect them from fitna of Dajjal. And as we find these narrations, whoever reads Surah Al-Kahf on this blessed day of Yawmul Jum'ah, even though stranger it is a blessed day, Afdulul Yawm, Talat alayhi shams, the best day the sun rises, Yawmul Jum'ah. It's the best day. It's the day that Adam alayhi salam was created. It's the day he was expelled from Jannah. And it's the day that Yawmul Qiyamah will be established. It's the best day, but at the same time, Allah, yukhawwiful ibad. Allah scares human beings to remind them that there's glad tidings and also there's going to be scary things that you need to prepare yourself for. So Allah likes to awaken his ibad, awaken his servants in that return back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this day, Yawmul Jummah, that we rejoice in, it will also be the day of the standing of Yawmul Qiyamah. So whoever recites this surah on the day of Yawmul Jummah, and only a few qillatul ulama may try to make these ahadith da'if, but in all fairness, the majority of you, the ulama, accepting the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf on Yawmul Jummah, from min makanihi, from this place of recitation, ila samai, until the heaven, going up to the heavens, there will be a nur, as we began with, for that individual. Ila bayt al-atiq, in other narrations it mentions, to the final home or the old relic home, the home of Al-Ka'bah that we find, nur will go there. Other narrations, Masjid al-Aqsa. And I said it will be 7 days plus 3 more will be given to that individual. And so other narrations mentioned to recite it before the imam or on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah. All these ahadith are skeptical in nature. But at any moment on Yawmul Jummah to recite this surah, these 110 verses, a Makkan surah. Because Makkan surahs deal with akhlaq, character and behavior and aqaid and belief. Ibn Abbas said that kullu surah wal makkiyah. The whole of this surah is a Makkan surah. Imam Shawkani inside his tafsir, yaqul anna bidayat as-surah madaniyah. He said that certain ayat in the beginning are madinan. But it's not the most accurate view. Because Imam Qurtubi also mentioned the whole this surah, the whole these 110 verses are Makkah in nature. What is the asbab al-nuzul, the reason of the narration or the relation of narrating this surah or the sending down this surah? Because the Quraysh, they became frustrated about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So they wanted to catch him out on something. Because everything about him, they could not respond to him. So they consulted with the people and some of the people of Medina, the Ahlul Kitab, Al-Yahud. Are those people inside Medina? They said that we need to consult with these people. They're people of Torah, well, Injil, and the book, was Zabur. So if he's really a messenger, then they should know about this person. The Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him like they know their own sons. So they said they came travel and they said to the Quraysh, ask him about three things. سَلُهُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. Ask about three things. Ask if he's really a prophet, he'll be able to answer these questions. Ask him about Ashabul Kahf. Ask about the sleepers of the cave, the companions of the cave. Ask him about Dhulqarnain, about this individual who traversed over the east and the west. And ask him about Ar-Ruh, about the soul. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to them that I will inform you about this tomorrow. But he never said, Insha'Allah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Inside Surah Al-Kahf. Never say, I'm going to do something tomorrow, except to say, Insha'Allah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Revelation stopped for 15 days. So here the Quraysh thought that maybe now we're victorious. We're victorious that we can't answer the questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done this just to show the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that kullul umur biyadillah. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you're a Nabi or a messenger or a prophet, whoever you are, everything is by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants, when He wishes, when He wills, He will release the answer. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned this surah, nuzilat duf'atan wahidatan, was revealed in one go. All in one go. And from amongst the first of the surahs revealed, as we mentioned, at the Meccan period. So after some time, the answer is then given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about the questions that these individuals they asked about. So he put them on the back foot that everything we ask him about, he answers about them. So the first theme that we cite inside this surah that Allah subhanahu mentions, Alhamdulillah. As we mentioned, that all praise was shukr, was thana, wal majd, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's not the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there's certain places inside the Quran, Imam Sabun inside the tafsir, he mentions certain places inside the Quran that Allah begins bilhamd. In the beginning in Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-An'am, inside Al-Kahf, inside Surah Saba and Fatir. Five places inside the Quran that Allah begins these surahs by praising or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba. Anzala ala abdihi, sent down upon his servant. Ubudiyya is a high level. So when people take offense of calling the Prophet as a abd of Allah, Allah speaks that he's the servant of Allah. Allah said inside Surah Al-Isra, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Allah said, glorified be Allah subhanahu who took his servant. Because ubudiyya is a station of total reliance and trust and servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said inside Surah Al-Furqan, Tabarak alladhi, glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent upon his servant, Nazzal al-Furqan ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. Who revealed the Furqan, the Quran, the criterion. There's a distinction between al-haqq wal-batil, wa bayna al-imani wal-kufr. Ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. Sent upon his servant to be a warner to mankind. That's why the Quran وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Inside Surah Al-Furqan, the end, Allah mentions وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ. Strive against them, these people, with what? بِهِ الضمير يعود إلى القرآن. With the Quran. With the use of the Quran, send it across to the people, preach to the people the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Allah sent this book, this kitab, and there's no عِوَجًا. There's no crookedness inside this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no deviation or corruption if we can use these linguistic words. There's no mistakes, there's no faults, there's no discrepancies. Alif lam mim dhalikal kitabu la rayba fihi. La rayba fihi, there's no doubt about it. That's how the Quran begins. And that's why even if we return back, what's the essence of us Muslims? The weakness is we don't read the Quran. And even when we read the Quran, we don't ponder over the Quran. Leave ahkamul Quran at the moment for a side. Let's just tadabbur al-Qur'an. That how many of us, we read the Qur'an and we see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We reflect over these ayat. We take the lessons from these ayat. Because that's what these ayat are. That Allah is sending down these lessons upon us. That's what numerous times Allah mentions, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. We'll narrate upon you. أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. The best of stories we'll narrate to them are inside the Qur'an. You know, people say, oh, we want something to spiritually uplift us. Read the Quran, ya yul ikhwa. You don't need fanciful stories. Stories which are placed inside the Quran, strategic locations and places are there to spiritually awaken the individual. And if you want to supplement, read the tafsir of these stories. But you don't need to delve so deep. Because there's certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves out for a reason. That when people delve inside this surah about the name of the dog, the type of the dog, the type of people, who these individuals were, the location, the place. قَدْ يَفِيدْ هَذَا الْإِلْمِ. It could benefit some individuals, this knowledge, but Allah speaks generic terms inside the Quran that extract the lessons in from the Quran, extract the main theme of the lessons that are mentioned inside this surah. And as we find that these individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about these individuals, who these individuals were. Or prior to that, Allah mentions, لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To see who amongst them is going to be best in actions. That's the whole intent of Al-Islam. It's not aktharu amala, who does the most actions. Allah lays out a criteria who does the best actions to the best of their ability. And the end of the surah sends the same message as Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir. What is best actions? As we're going to touch upon, that which contains ikhlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is mutaba'atul rasul or mutaba'atul sunnah, that which is following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So these individuals that we find, am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi wal-raqim kanu min ayatina ajaba. Do you think the people of the cave, wal-raqim, ulama begin to discover what al-raqim is, whether the scripture or the name of the cave, or there's a scribe outside the cave? Do you think these are strange signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As we mentioned, that the strange signs are the last day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can easily transform people, change time, change certain things, change the essence of fire, it burns, but it never burnt for Ibrahim alayhi salam. A knife, it smites, it kills, cause a person to bleed, but it never for Ibrahim alayhi salam when he's sacrificing his son. Thus, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't harm anyone. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ رَمَى. But it did on that day. Or the battle of Badr that we find, it did on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change sunnah al-kawniyah, the natural sunnah that we live in, to another formation. This is what we as aqad, we need to understand. Because we live in such a global world, of a materialistic world. We can't digest and understand that. How will the last day be established? How will Allah change the phenomena of the world around us? How will there be destruction? How there will be upheaval? How will there be a last day? It doesn't seem like there's going to be a last day with the metropolis world that we live around us at the moment. It doesn't seem to be that will ever take place. Or the nuclear weaponry around us. How will it dismantle and be? Bare shields and swords and spears and on horses and on horseback. How will that return? The answer is qillatul iman. The answer is weakness of faith. Weakness of conviction. That's why people begin to stipulate about these texts inside the Quran that Dajjal is a new world order. It's a phenomena. It's a control of the world. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is a figment of the mind. It's ravage. It's savagery. That's what it is. No, it's not. Those could be plausible meanings linguistically. نَأْخُذُ النُّصُوص عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا. Ahlul Sunnah take texts upon their clear meaning. Dajjal is an identity, is an individual who will come out. Yes, he'll have certain structure that will be given to him specifically, but he's going to be human in nature. He will be killed. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, maybe not so human in the sense of what we see, but they are going to be human beings from numerous traditions and narrations that we find, who are going to create this carnage and pillage, and Allah will destroy them once again. So this becomes, when we live in this secular world, that even so-called Islamic thinkers and scholars and philosophers, they begin to push this theme away. That it doesn't really mean that inside the Quran. It doesn't mean when it means the end day, or Dajjal is going to return, or Ya'juj and Ma'juj are going to come. This is dangerous. Because we as Muslims, as we began with, Islam is based upon fundamental core beliefs. And that's why the more the person reads the Quran, he or she sees those core beliefs. How Allah describes what will take place towards the end of the time. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأٌ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. We're going to narrate to you their story in truth about these fityatun, these young boys. Once again, a lesson for many of us. You know, people think that what benefit are young people inside society? You know, if you read through Change, you read through Companions, most of them were young men. They were young individuals. إِنَّمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. There were young people who believed in their Lord, and Allah increased them in goodness and guidance. Person who takes steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take steps towards that individual, guide that individual, strengthen that individual. Thus you find 400 years, four centuries after Isa alayhi salam, Malik Daqyus, this king who was forcing people to enter into Christianity, these young individuals, they stood up. Some ulama begin to mention they were maybe the sons of the princes or whatever it may be, but that's kalam, not authenticated inside books of tafsir in general. But they were just young boys who took a stance. إِنَّمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They believed in their Lord. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We strengthened their hearts. We strengthened their iman. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sleep. for 300 or 309 years and preserved their body, everything about them. These individuals, so when they came out again inside society and they saw the changes, right? Go back and read this surah, read the tafsir, this surah, read how Allah describes the merits of these individuals, hatta the merits that some ulama mentioned, even the merit of the dog at that time becomes praiseworthy of being guarding the cave. That is said, if a dog can become, if you can use such words, righteous by being with righteous people, why can't other normal people become righteous by being with righteous people? Because maybe us righteous people aren't a qudwa anymore. We're not an example anymore for people. That when you rub with righteous people, automatically the people go towards righteousness. The Prophet ﷺ, he described the people who your friends are. Like hamilul misk, the person who carries perfume, who gives perfume. And a person, nafikhul kir, person the bellows smith, the one, the iron smith, one who works with iron. Person who just stands with a perfume seller, the smell, the fragrance comes on your body. You don't need to physically take any perfume from the individual. The fragrance is enshrouded upon you. And if you stand with impious people, haram people, that's what many, the youth, what do they say? If we can use the words that people say, I only coach with them, I only move about with them. I don't do those haram things. I'm more sensible than that. Ya ayyul ikhwa, just by being with them, it's only a matter of time that their traits and their practices, it will rub off upon you. They'll rub off upon you. And that's why a person, al-maru ala dini khalilihi, a man is upon the religion of his friends. A man is in a religion of his friends. So let every one of you see who his friends are. So these young individuals, their friends, they're going to be united in this belief regarding towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected these individuals. Ashabul Jannatain, the second story. The companions of the two caves. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given this parable, given this blessing to these two individuals. The wealth and property given to them. And they began to boast. One of them began to boast. Said, look at me. Look, I'm better than you. In my wealth, the world revolves around this. The world revolves around this. I'm better than such and such individual. I possess more wealth than him, more lineage, more children, more power. What happened to this individual? And look at the arrogance of this individual. Because you know, arrogance sometimes has no limits. This individual says that when I die, then when I return to my Lord, then even then Allah is going to give me what I own in this dunya. Look at the arrogance. That just what I possess in this dunya, wa ana haqqun li dhalik. Then Allah will give it back to me when I go back to al-akhirah. So I'm going to be powerful in this world, I'll be powerful inside al-akhirah. So what did Allah do? Destroyed it all. Wiped it all out. Destroyed everything of these individuals to send out the message that once again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. That's why Allah gives this parable about this dunya. كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْطَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. That is, the parable of this dunya is like the rain that comes down, showers down from the heavens upon this earth. And فَاخْطَلَتَ, it mixes with the earth. And you find that plants begin to grow. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what to it? Then Allah eventually turns into hashiman, turns into stubble, into dust, into remnants. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah has power and control over everything. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person begins to boast about their wealth and their children in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah mentioned after, وَلَقَدْ صَرَفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ النَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Inside this book, we give every type of parable is given inside this book. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. But look how the human being is excessive in argumentation. Inside the Quran about the essence of the human. Read the end of Surah Yasin, the essence of the human being. Look at these ayat. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man is created in a state of hastiness. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Inside Surah An-Nisa. Just ponder over the ayat how Allah speaks about insan. In general, Allah never praises the human being. In general, whenever Allah speaks about insan, speaks about his essence. Speaks about the beginning of the human min nutfatin, amshajin, from mixed semen. We created a human being. And then the individual begins to boast about who they are and what they are. Why don't you go back and look at the essence of what this human being is? before they boast in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah begins to speak about Mashhad Yawm al-Qiyamah, about the visualization of the last day. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ, when you see these mountains that they're lifted away, they're taken away. And we mentioned that these things that we see, reading the Quran, how Allah will uplift them, will uproot them, will take them away. And then when the individual will come on that day, the individual say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُ مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. On that day when you come, another place in the Quran, اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Read your own book. Read your own book, read your own scripture. Read it yourself. Sufficient you are as a witness, as a testimony upon your own self. And here the person say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Person say, woe to this book. What's the matter with this record, with this book? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. No small action or no major action, إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Except for it's all been documented. And everything we brought present for that individual. Then Allah mentions, Allah doesn't oppress any individual. We stand as a testimony for our own selves, for our own lives, for our own actions, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us about. Then the main crux of the surah, Musa wal Khidr alayhi salam. Read this story, that journey of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he said these comments which are rightful, as the ulama mentioned, when he's asked who's the most knowledgeable person on the face of this earth at that moment in time. He said, I am. You know, the crux of the story is at-tawadu' fi talabatil ilm, is humility in seeking knowledge. Read Khatib al-Baghdadi's Ar-Rihla fi talabatil ilm. You know, because knowledge in the world at the moment, the YouTube world and Twitter and Facebook and whatever it may be, that every person is an alim. Every person is a scholar. Every person is a specialist. Every person can refute everybody. And life just becomes that. As we began with, life is spirituality. That's what life is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show Musa alayhi salam, you can haqqan li hadhihi al-kalimat, would have the right to say I'm the most knowledgeable individual. But look at Musa alayhi salam, this strong personality, strong individual who slapped the angel of death in his face. Was never frightened of any individual in his life. But look at his humility. When Allah said to him that go to whereby these two oceans meet and seek knowledge from this individual, did Musa say, ya Allah, that ana rasul, ana nabi, you spoke to me, wa kallam Allah Musa taklima, and now you're sending me to go and speak to Khidr, speak to this individual? La, mustahil. He went there and he said to Khidr, you have knowledge that I don't have, that I need to learn from you. So they both embarked on that boat, and a bird rested on the edge of the boat, and it dipped its beak into the ocean, and droplets of water went into the beak of the bird. Khidr says to Musa alayhi salam, that my knowledge and your knowledge in comparison to the knowledge of Allah is like these drops of water in the beak of this bird. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْإِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. انظر إلى البشر الآن. Look at human beings today. Because ilm has led to at-takabbur, it's led to arrogance. And this ananiya that we find at me, myself and I, to look down upon people, that's not qasdul ilm. Qasdul ilm isn't to look down upon people. Because whoever has developed, that's not the most difficult thing in a person's life. Yes, there's other elements of ulama tazkiyah that they speak about. Wa kullakum sarahatan huwa at-takabbur. وَأَنْوَاءُهَا is arrogance, and it's various shades and colours. It's various shades. And the shades that we live inside our society are visible. How people would speak to one another, how they express themselves towards one another. These are lessons that we should exert from the Qur'an. Of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us what we need to do inside our lives to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find Dhul Qarnayn. They asked about يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhul Qarnayn. Once again, this individual, he was given power. There's ulama write that four individuals conquered and ruled over all of this earth. Two Muslims and two non-Muslim rulers. Ruled over most of this earth. But once again, Dhul Qarnayn, read through his life, read through his seerah here inside the Quran, that he's told to traverse the earth. And he can subjugate people to be his subjects and make them his servant. But he only says, I'm only going to take revenge or oppress them when people commit shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then other than that, it's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has the power, he has the ability. But his humility to help the people, to protect them here from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, whereby he builds this barrier, this wall, solidifies this wall. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned the hadith Zayd bin Jahsh, where she said, where she highlights the Prophet ﷺ said, Waylul lil Arab. Woe to the Arabs for fitna that is about to throw themselves upon them. He said that every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj, paraphrasing the hadith, they dig at the wall. Every day they dig at the wall. They come very close. And they said that tomorrow we'll come back and we finish this digging. But they don't say inshallah. So when they return back, the wall is solidified again. But one day they say inshallah. So when they return back, there are only a few remnants are left for them to burst through the wall and create the carnage and pillage that they'll do in the face of this earth. That's Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Towards the end of time, that there will be these identities and these individuals cause destruction upon the earth. We find that in general, many surahs of the Quran, that their beginning theme is also the end theme of the surah as well. And that's generic. It doesn't mean that every single surah has the same beginning and the same ending. But you find that certain surahs inside the Quran, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah with, will end the surah with, in general, the same theme. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights that the theme in the beginning of the surah is about praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing righteous actions, and taking the Prophet as a servant, as a messenger of Allah. So the end of the surah, قُلْ إِنَّمَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Say, I'm only a human being like you. There's certain human characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ that we need to accept, because we have to relate to human beings. He's given the ability to speak, to drink, to eat, to live his normal life. That's not being derogatory to the Prophet ﷺ. But at the same time, there are certain characteristics which are far beyond that we can ever imagine that were given to him, that we do apply, we do believe in. But Allah uses certain words inside the Quran. We should stop at those words. We shouldn't go towards excessive praise that some people, they enter in this world of excessive praising of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they fail to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that I'm only a bashar, a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this revelation to me that there is only one God to be worshipped. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that needs to be worshipped. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And whoever aspires to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what should you do? Should you just become stagnant individuals that many of the Muslims today, we have this belief that I believe in Allah, that God will forgive me, God will overlook me. Yes, that's possibly true. There could be some individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. But the general sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid down upon this earth, وَقَبْلَ ذَلِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, is that there's certain actions that you need to do for that to be given to you inside your life. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Carry out righteous actions. That's why Ibn Kathir, in the end of his tafsir, these ayat or verse 110, that he mentions that what are these righteous actions? How does a person solidify them? As we mentioned, via sincerity, via ikhlas, and trying as close as possible to be according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's what we find in conclusion, key words or statements inside this surah. If we can only walk away with these four statements that exist inside this surah, then that would be a good beginning for many of us. The concept of saying inshallah, that a person, whatever they say or they have, even in their mind, as some ulama mentioned, a person has that belief and that conviction that nothing will happen except for by the permission and leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mashallah as well is mentioned regarding ashabul jannatain, that there's no quwwa except for via the permission and the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever person has or they've achieved, or whatever they've done or they want to do, it should be alhamd wa shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. La quwwata illa billah. I have no power, no might, no ability. At tawfiq min Allah. Allah is the one that gives tawfiq, gives the person the ability to do certain things inside their life. That's why those young individuals, when they believe, they took those small mini steps. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that Allah strengthened them, strengthened their iman, strengthened their journey. And the fourth statement indirectly that can be deduced is Allahu A'lam. Musa alayhi salam in Khidr, the story is there. That to limit our knowledge, that not to enter to spheres that which don't concern us or we don't have the knowledge about, just to leave it at that. Because ulama mentioned Allahu A'lam nisful ilmi. To say Allah knows is actually half of knowledge. It's half of knowledge to accept one's limitations inside their life. And the other concept we touch upon, ananiya, me, myself, and I. To remove this from our concept and our language that we use. Also, the clearest message that we mentioned inside this surah is about arrogance. Arrogance, and the opposite of arrogance is humility. That's a key theme inside this surah. If we look at the four themes of these individuals, Ashabul Kahf, we find that they could have been, the king was an arrogant individual. The youth were humble individuals. Likewise, when Ashabul Jannatain, that one of them was an arrogant individual, the other was a humble individual. The story of Iblis inside his surah, he was arrogant, Adam was humble, recognized his mistake, repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa wal Khidr. Musa, if we can say such words, he had that element of arrogance in a literal sense that he had every right to make that statement, but he showed his humility. And Dhul Qarnayn had the full right to show his might and his pride, but he restrained himself in how to present himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to understand and dissect the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of ability and to live true to these words. And these words inspire us inside our lives to become better individuals in our relationship, firstly, towards between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Grant us the tawfiq to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis.